Was it all a dream or was it real? We're talking Lance, Dr. Drew, and Lil' Kim tonight, and there are scandals and secrets galore. It's the Hollywood Medium Season 2 finale, back in a moment.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
You know what I'm saying? Good, baby.
Well, it's a little different vibe for us tonight. But season two of Hollywood Medium is complete. It was not, in fact, a dream. It happened.
It's real.
It was a long, real, emotional season.
Oh, my gosh.
And we're back with a full panel tonight. And this might be the most shocking episode in terms of whatever we just witnessed.
Yeah.
Living for it.
We're ready to talk.
I was
talk.
Like, is E! News going to have the exclusive on who shot Biggie? I was like, is this?
And of course, we had to get platform? Through so many commercial breaks to find out the answer to that question. Yeah. So we're going to dive right in. I want our panel to introduce themselves. Our full panel, once again, here to dish on the finale with all of you.
Hey everyone, I am Mina Wahab. You can't find me on social media right now. I'm taking a quick break from Instagram, but you can actually still follow me on Twitter, Mina Makes Magic.
Hey AfterBuzzers, Russell Ray here. You can find me on Instagram at Russell Ray Silva or The Russell Ray on Twitter with underscore in between the words.
Hey guys, it's Drew Jones, and you can follow me on all social media at OKDrewJ.
I like your handle.
Thanks.
Okay, Drew J. And I'm Stefan Lovegrove. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Dr. Lovegrove. Not to be confused with Dr. Drew, who we'll get to in a little while. Actually, Andrew is my middle name.
I confuse you guys all the time.
I confuse myself too. Yeah. So overall thoughts on the finale. What did you guys think of this episode?
I actually really liked the guests a lot.
They were all interesting
all
and different.
Really good, yeah.
I was, like, legit excited about this episode because I was like, I know who all these people are, and I like all these people.
And they're interesting. Point. They all have their own personality. They're not like, hope this revives my career. Like, we already know them and care about them.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. There's so much to talk about. I'm so, so excited. I'm so excited about this.
I like the episodes when we have opinions. Not just like, oh, that was sweet, or oh, that was emotional, but we have opinions. And I think we have opinions
and
tonight.
And we have questions.
Questions. Oh. Sometimes people leave with more questions than answers. Was it that kind of night? I feel like it was for the viewer.
I have all the questions.
Well, we're going to dive in with, the least dramatic reading first, going to the most dramatic, which they put that at the end for a reason.
Of
all things to put at the end of a season. So we started out with Lance Bass, and Lance brings his bestie in for the reading, which is Jamie Lynn Sigler, who we know from The Sopranos.
Yes.
And I don't remember. Tyler knew Lance? Is that our assumption? I don't think they explicitly
said it. There's no
way
Tyler Henry watched The Sopranos, though, growing up.
Right. I think he knew Lance, but not Jamie Lynn.
He didn't recognize her.
So they come in, and they actually use the word seances. I don't know that we've had someone... we've had people who were open. I don't know if we've had someone that was outright like, I've been attending seances.
He said he does seances.
Not personally,
but does he lead them, do you think? I think he just engages, like, very much so on a regular basis.
If he does, I will pay for to be a part. Like, you know how you can go on Backstreet Boy cruises? I will pay to be a part of an NSYNC seance.
An NSYNC seance? No, I don't think a seance is just, like, you're in communication with them. I think that's a structured thing. Like, I think that's a ritual you're doing.
No, it is.
Right. So this is some legit, like, they're into this stuff.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is they said no one has ever really given them validation before. Like, of all the mediums and psychics and seances, it's always been a very mediocre experience until tonight. What are you guys' thoughts on this reading?
Well, that's been reoccurring through the whole entire episode today. Like, Dr. Drew said the same thing.
That's true. No one has convinced him yet of all the many psychics that Susan has apparently brought in, which I just find hilarious for some reason.
Yeah. I mean, I'm convinced with Tyler, like, 100%. Like, it's to the point now where, like, he'll say something and their face expressions are, like, so surprised. I'm like, why are you surprised? Like, he told you. He's the real deal.
At this point, especially. Yeah. Right.
Like, two seasons in, like, okay, he's legit.
So we'll start with Lance, and then we'll move to Jamie. Ironically, Lance, I think, brought Jamie kind of for support, but then the whole reading
was about her.
Was really about her.
Unless his stuff she got upstaged. Cut out in post-production.
She pulled a Justin Timberlake.
That's true. Do you think it was an instance of maybe Lance's stuff was personal, so we just got the details?
Possibly.
Maybe it had to do with the NSYNC reunion that is bound to happen one day, and Justin was like, hey, Lance, don't put that on E!
I don't think it was.
Don't crash my dreams, man.
This is a great fan theory, though.
But what he said was when I walked in, I got the immediate vibe to go straight to Jamie. I mean, of course he has something to say about Lance.
Is the truth is he can't control what comes through.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if you're hoping to hear from somebody and they don't really show up, whoops. And on the flip side, if the time gets consumed by one person, well... it is what it is. I don't know. So all we got with Lance is that they're starting a family. His husband's side, the Florida connection. And I'm so happy about that. Like, what a sweet thing to have affirmed for him.
I love it.
Babies, babies, babies.
I don't think it was, like, shocking news-making
story. I didn't know.
Actually, maybe it was a headline. Because Lance said he'd only told his very close friends. So there you go. Lance Bass is starting a family with his husband.
Do you think they'll have play dates with Justin Timberlake's little boy?
That would actually be great.
I don't know. That'd be really cool.
Because I think Justin Timberlake's wedding photos and family and everything is constantly just gorgeous and adorable. Mm-hmm.
Oh, of course.
So that just sounds dream Hollywood family life.
It feels like a random pairing, like Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel. I like them both. It just feels...
I've been here for it.
Really random.
You've been here for NSYNC long before this reading, clearly.
Yeah, they were my first ever big concert. I got to meet them backstage. It was everything, and ever since then, I will never stop it.
You were really in spirit in the room with Lance for this reading.
Some would say I was in sync.
I see what you did there. Okay, well, so...
he hates it so much.
I don't hate it.
You're like, okay.
But we do need to talk about Jamie because that's where the bulk of the reading was. Mm-hmm. And I really did love this family connection, just overall. I mean, I love when Tyler gets to the house and there's already somebody coming through. And there was a little bit of... Was there a little bit of somebody else at the beginning? Or was it all Adam? I guess it was all Adam. I got confused. I thought there was a grandma, but then the grandma was Lil' Kim.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was all Adam.
It was all... So what consumed this reading was her brother Adam, mm-hmm. which makes sense because Tyler said he comes through as a figure that likes to be the center of attention.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he was in this reading. What did you guys remember? What stood out to you from this reading?
The dragonflies.
Oh, yeah, that was my favorite. Dragonflies.
Has that ever happened to you where you, like, have an experience where someone passes and then they always say, what is it? Hummingbirds was mine.
Yeah.
With what person or relative or figure?
With both my grandma and my grandpa.
Oh.
Wow.
Just, like, it was a dream the night before. And, like he said, all dreams are not just, you know, perception. It's, like, technically who says it's not to happen. So I had these two dreams, one of my grandfather when he passed, one of my grandmother when she passed. The very following day, it was a hummingbird. Both times following me around. So I totally related on that level. Mm-hmm. Has it happened to you guys?
I've had raccoons follow me around. But I've also had this.
Don't laugh. That might be her sign.
No, it's not. It's not like a sign of someone who's passed. It's just when I was a kid, my dad used to tell me these random stories about this raccoon that would go on adventures. And he would make jokes, even in adulthood, hey, he's keeping tabs on you. And one day I was walking to my friend's house and I saw this raccoon literally following me and I freaked out. I was like, what's going on? Where I would keep seeing raccoons in college, following me.
It was the snacks in your pocket, girl.
It was just so random. And they kind of they're kind of scary. I mean, I love raccoons, but they're kind of scary. They'd attack you.
But to answer, yes, when my Nana passed away, her name was Iris. And we kept, at my mom's house and at, my apartment when I moved out here, irises kept growing in places that, I asked my landlord, I was like, oh, I didn't know you guys planted irises in the front garden. They're like, we don't plant anything in the front garden.
No!
And I was so freaked out and I called my aunt because my aunt's super spiritual about that stuff. And she was just like, that's your Nana. that's her. And I was like, all right.
I always wonder how much of life is coincidences, like, or if it's just something.
But they didn't, Mina. They didn't plant anything.
They didn't plant And irises aren't something that just randomly grow.
Exactly. Yeah.
I think it's just cute blessings that come our way. You know what I mean? It's like, oh my gosh.
And I feel like they always pop up when you need to see them.
And it's the closure.
Yeah.
That you want and you need.
Because you're like, okay, you're good. You're good to go.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be good.
So one of mine is, it's kind of a little different, but mine would be like a symbol of a crown anywhere. Because I'm named after a baby that lived less than 24 hours and was supposed to be my dad's little brother. And actually, when I did a medium reading, he did come through. But hello. I was named after him, and the name means crown, and so I see crowns. That's mine.
I love that.
Not raccoons.
Yeah, not raccoons.
Mina, it is season 2 finale. It is time for you to be a full-on believer. What do you guys think? Don't you think it's time for Mina to just full-on believe?
I am pretty much like the Dr. Drew of Tyler Henry Hollywood Media. But I'm a skeptic.
He left the season, the episode, believing.
But didn't you... Okay, if you paid attention to his facial expressions, he looked so annoyed for some reason.
I think he was annoyed because science couldn't prove
irritated
what was going on.
I think that's exactly
Possibly that's true.
I think he's a believer, man.
So you're a complete 100% skeptic.
I'm not a 100% skeptic. I think, like, this stuff is beautiful. I just, there's a part of me that questions things. I don't just take everything in and consume everything and say, yes, this is fact. Okay. Like, I don't
consume everything in as fact.
I don't.
Especially not TMZ. But
don't
back,
hesitate at me.
Back to Adam. Coming through, so... This brain aneurysm. So, okay, what a weird, like, it's funny because after this reading, we had the conversation in the car about, do you ever get awkward information? And Charlie being like, do you ever get anything sexual? Do you ever get anything embarrassing or that's awkward to say? Which is actually a very interesting conversation to have.
Yeah.
I felt so awkward watching this whole thing about there was a brain aneurysm and he was in a compromising position. I was just like, this is uncomfortable. I mean, it came through, but what did you guys think? I felt so awkward.
I kept wondering what was that, like, what was the compromising position? Obviously, they would never say that on TV if she specifically had a closed casket.
But if he was, like, unclothed or something, what I don't understand is whatever the compromising position was, why couldn't they resolve it? But you know what I mean? Like, don't they dress? It's a morbid topic, but it's Hollywood media. But, like, for a funeral, don't they prepare the body and dress them and whatever for the casket? They don't just
throw them in. They do, but your body does also go stiff after a certain point.
I was wondering if, like, the brain aneurysm did something with, like, face muscles went out of control or something, and it was, like, his face was stiff and some weird, like, uncomfortable face expression.
That's so terrible.
Well, because I was trying to think what would make sense, and that's...
Yeah. Well, and I feel weird hyper-analyzing it. It's just they spent so much time on it in the episode that it makes me wonder.
Well, they mentioned it was in the forehead. It was in a compromising position. He positioned like this, and then she said he hit his head when he fell. So, I mean, like... He could have conked his head, like, on the corner of a table or, like, of a counter, and it could have left a hole or, like, a huge gash in his head.
Yeah.
Like, no one wants to see. Like, you can... There's makeup to a certain extent, but, like, I know this from experience. When you see someone who's been in such a tragic event like that, and they try to reconstruct the face or with anything like molding clay, it's just... It's not the same. It's not that person.
Yeah.
So you don't want to see it. So that's why she evidently said that we have the closed casket.
I kept thinking it was, like, an embarrassing position, the way she said it. Almost like it wasn't, like, gruesome.
I thought so, too, but it didn't make sense to me. I was like, anything involving sex or nudity or anything could have been resolved for the funeral and the casket.
Yeah.
Just a strange detail. Yeah. Of all details on this show, I was like, what an odd...
That they spent a lot of time on.
And I don't feel bad talking about it, A, because it's what we do on an after show, but B, because they edited it in. And we've talked about, you know, we were talking earlier tonight, the Kardashian-Jenner readings often feel very edited. And if they do not want it on air about their family, it doesn't go on air.
Yeah.
So... Anyway, so, okay, this is what resonated with me about the Adam part, though, is this phone call thing. And that he had called her and he wanted to pick up. So that just haunted me because I lost a friend in high school and he had sent me a Facebook message that I had never replied to.
Mm-hmm.
And this weird thing kicks in where you're like, Well, in this instance, I don't know if she explicitly thought it's my fault that he passed, but this weird thing kicks in of just, I should have been there. I should have done like you could have more. Changed. I should have, even though logically you're like, no, I probably couldn't have. But it's just a weird guilt thing. So I thought it was absolutely beautiful that he came through and just said he knew that you loved him and it's all... I just thought it was one of the most beautiful closure moments.
I was so confused about, though, because there, like, I guess he had said something like, I need a ride from the train station. How would he be in like, that compromising situation then? Like, there must have been a lot of time that elapsed from the time he found a ride home to, like, she probably didn't respond to him for a while is what I'm trying to say.
I think she let, like, a day pass or something. Yeah, the day before, and then she found out the next day that something happened. So I'm assuming he probably did get home and then...
I don't think it was like if she had given him the ride, it wouldn't have happened.
It would have still happened, probably.
Right, and that's why I'm bringing up, I don't think that it's a literal, like they said, I'm too drunk to drive and then something happened. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was a literal, you could have stopped it.
No, she
just feels weird because it was the last phone call, last person he talked to.
And I like the statement that Tyler Henry made when he said, it's okay, like there's nothing you could have done, and even if you said you loved him, he already knows you love him. You don't have to say that to him. He already knows how much you love him.
That is powerful for people who aren't happy with what their last words were.
Yeah.
I thought that was really powerful.
I thought it was really interesting because when right before I moved out here, a really good friend of mine from high school passed away, and I was lucky enough to have had a conversation with him like a day or two before, and we had a really good conversation, but the whole thing just made me make a point to, like, always say, like, I love you or whatever before I get off the phone with somebody. Or, like, even if I'm mad at somebody, like, trying to, like, let the last words be, like, at least semi-decent. Because, you know, say something.
You don't want to leave it there.
Yeah, you don't want to leave it like that.
Well, this reading wrapped up so beautifully with Tyler saying people always hear what they need to hear. And for Lance, in this instance, that was a message about the future. And for Jamie Lynn, in this instance, that was a message about the past of closure and a beautiful reading. And now we move on to Dr. Drew.
Such a delf.
Yes. Wasn't expecting. I thought you were going to say the skeptic or that's such you. A skeptic. And skeptical. Then we went in another direction. Drew took us in another direction with Dr. Drew.
They were a hot couple. That's hot
they
couple
were.
Goals.
I don't know what she does, but I do feel like in the dynamic, power couple dynamic.
Yes.
And honestly, I give them so much props. I mean, he should be able to help them navigate this in theory. But for them to disagree on something like that, it reminds me of like the X-Files pairing of like a believer and a skeptic and how it can make for like a cool dynamic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For them to disagree, but agree to disagree and kind of do it in a fun, playful way, props to them.
And it's so weird to me just because Dr. Drew's entire identity is like based on this whole thing where he's a scientist, he's a doctor, everything requires empirical evidence. So how is your identity so wrapped in that and then you marry someone who is very different from that? It's so weird because he
because
takes pride
sometimes
in being
opposites
that way.
Attract.
They do, totally. But that's such a huge part of his identity. It's a part of his work, it's a part of how he believes, how he thinks. So it's just so interesting that you would be attracted to and drawn to someone opposite.
Maybe she's his escape from that. It's like being a comedian, and you don't want to marry another comedian like that's just as powerful as you are, because who's going to be the center of attention, right? Like, wouldn't that take away from your relationship as a comedian?
I'm the funny one.
Exactly. It's like, laugh at my jokes.
I mean, you can be funny, too, but like...
I need someone funny, though.
I'm funnier. Maybe.
And, well...
I'm funny.
I think... sometimes you just want a break. Mm-hmm. I think that's a very good point.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not trying to date another coach. I don't want that. I don't want us to be in a fight. And you'd be like, no, where else in your life are you doing this? Hell no. Absolutely not. But also, I just think that there's points where science reaches a limit and there's things that are unexplained.
Mm-hmm.
And absolutely. I think that... you know, the most logical, analytical, scientific people in the world, there's still things that they can't, like, for example, if you have a terminal illness and you know that you're dying, doesn't matter what you know about death and the human body and consciousness and all of that stuff, there's still a part of you that's like, should I be worried? Do I need to be worried? Mm-hmm. What's next? Is there something next? Yeah. Does this, like, I just think that, I don't know. I think it makes sense. But I love their dynamic. And we start out with Susan's father coming through, mm-hmm. And Tyler says there's a newness. They haven't completely finished grieving yet. What did you guys think about this reading as a whole? What did you guys think about?
It was interesting just because he painted a very detailed picture of the, you know, the house that he was describing, how it was right next to a creek or a body of water.
Which, how would you guess and that with yeah. a beach house? How many beach houses have creeks? No, I thought about that. I was like, that's not a like...
I thought right now.
No, because he said there was a creek yeah. to the side, and I wouldn't get... A beach normally has sand yeah. and, like, a shore, and then the ocean. So yeah. a creek is not something I would guess for a beach house.
So that's why Dr. Drew, like... I kept wondering if they cut to Dr. Drew's facial expression where he's like, what? Like, where his eyebrows kind of raised? I was like, was that, like, a cut into that to show that this was possibly. An amazing read?
I think it was needed, though, for that to be so specific so that he could, like, be prepared for his reading about it.
Yeah.
That. Like, I think he needed to be, like, prepped that, okay, this guy's the real deal before yeah. they got to, like, his...
Good point.
His dad.
And this really was a scandalous episode because we got personal. And when Jack came through... a message came through about prostate cancer, and yeah. I was like, this is personal. And mm-hmm. and Mina pointed out that was not the most, like, private of the details, because mm-hmm. I think Dr. Drew has talked about that. But honestly, if I had any kind of serious health issue, you know, you can't control what comes through, but I would really hope to get a reassuring message.
Yeah.
Which is interesting, because I know in Europe and other places, psychics are legally not allowed to say anything about health. Because really? They don't want to be responsible. Yeah, the law doesn't permit health or, I think, finances. There's certain things they can't do. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Tyler can, because he gives lots of messages about health. But understandably, he said, that makes me really nervous to tell people things about their health. And especially when it's something that personal. What do we think about these triplets?
Well, wait, let's go back to the fact that he talks about people's health. Rewind to when he told Alan Thicke about his health problems. And then he ends up going. Like, if you're not a believer after that, like, that must have been a very awkward situation for him to read him and then to find out, like, oh, wow, like, he's gone.
Well, but ironically, if anybody is not going to feel responsible or at fault in any way, it's Tyler. Because he's like, I just said the information that was there.
Yeah, and you're supposed to act on it.
If anything, maybe he could feel like I needed to give him that warning so he knew that it was... almost time, and he could really use his last days wisely.
That's a good perception take on it.
I feel like that's a very Tyler take on it.
Yeah.
Because Tyler doesn't have guilt. Do you notice this? I think it's so refreshing. Tyler doesn't have guilt anywhere in this process. He's like, they don't feel guilty. You don't need to feel guilty. Everyone's good.
Yeah, Drew was mentioning that. Like, why is he so
He's very chipper
happy
about death.
When he's, like, talking about it. It's like, yeah, really great energy is coming through. A really, really great energy. And it's a very high energy. And it's like, maybe he just feels... the energy that's coming through, so then he communicates that same exact way. Because he's a medium, so he's transferring over the communication from one source to another.
Yeah. I think it's good that he's so I hate that I keep saying chipper about death, but I think it's good that he has this positive outlook on it, because I feel like it helps, like, the people that he's helping have a positive outlook on it. That it's, like, not an ending, but, like, a new chapter, if you will.
I also think it's just real. Like, I don't think he's doing it because he thinks it's going to help the situation.
Yeah.
I just think he's, in his experience, he's talking to live people. Mm-hmm. They're talking to him. He's experiencing their personality and their presence. So why would he be sad? He's not at a funeral. I think he tries to be respectful of the family and the people grieving. But they're alive to Tyler.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he's talking to some fun people.
I think it's like cute when he's like, oh, thank you for acknowledging that. Let me just acknowledge this real quick. Thank you. And then he's like scribbling and I'm that's so cool.
So a lot came through for Dr. Drew. What did you guys like or remember most about this reading for specifically on his side?
The China reading was really big, just because I was a really big fan of China growing up. I have no idea. I was, like, not in WWE at all, except for her. So I was pretty bummed when she passed. But I remember him having such a, like, they had, I want to say they did a show or something together, but they had a really public, like, relationship. Like, people knew that he was helping her, but it was very, like, personal, and you could tell that that, like, particularly, like, really struck a chord in him. And I think that was, like, the final straw for him. Like, okay.
Yeah.
For me, I like the part about how, you know, they talked about how one of the triplets, the mm-hmm. son, had his grandfather looking after him, and there was a very special bond between them. I thought that one was very special.
Yeah, that's really sweet.
The brain surgery
yeah.
for
the son,
the triplet, Douglas. That is an, yes, is an eerily specific yeah. thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think, you know, as per usual with Tyler, the skeptics get more eerie details because they need it, and the mm-hmm. loved ones know that they need it. I was glad that this message came through of just kind of an acknowledgement that they really did try to help her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there's only so much you can do when the person doesn't want help. And I think it's those kind of messages that are good for America to hear, because so many people deal with addiction issues. So many people mm-hmm. have had someone pass. And it's hard. I mean, you really can't, you can only do so much, especially when the person is resistant to your efforts to help them.
Absolutely.
I think it was good closure for him when it came through as, I'm sorry, you know what I mean? To not have taken advantage of all these opportunities that you presented to me. So I think that might have been a good closure for him. And, you know, having interviewed Dr. Drew personally, one-on-one, he's a very, like, sentimental, intimate guy. Like, when you're speaking to him, you're speaking to get him, and you're getting the whole him. And he's true-hearted about everything that he does. And you can see that in this episode. He portrays that. The tears start welling up in his eyes when he starts talking about China. And then when he comes back to the interview to talk about China from his own perspective, it was just, I think that was a good closure for him, because I think that's something that he needed. Even his wife said he never really had closure on it.
Yeah. Well, as much as I really could talk about this reading all day, because it was a beautiful mm-hmm. reading for them mm-hmm. as a family. But I want to make sure we have plenty of time for the shocking Lil' Kim reading.
Oh.
Yes.
So we'll just get out of the way. There was the grandma that came through and the heart problems, and that was a nice little appetizer yeah. of the reading.
I'm not
dismissing it. It's just we have so much to talk about. And I know fans at home don't want to talk about the Grandma Mary. So let's get into it.
You know what? Hold on. I got one thing to say. Miss Evans, Miss Faith, if you're watching, I need you to tweet me. We have plenty of time. The Russell Ray, I want to know how you feel about Biggie coming through to Lil' Kim. And why does she have his lambskin jacket? Why does she have Persian lambskin jacket still? And soulmate. He said that was his soulmate when he has a baby with you. Tweet me as soon as you can on that. Let's go ahead and continue.
Babies do not mean soulmates.
Okay, but he fought for her to come back into his life after he cheated on her.
There is some real messiness. The Lil' Kim, Faith Evans, Biggie Smalls love triangle is one of the biggest love triangles, absolutely, I feel like, in music history. And so for Biggie, big ol' self, to come back and be like, hey, Lil' Kim, you the one. If I was Faith Evans, I'd feel some type of way.
Can we talk about this? Not in a skeptic, because you know I'm 100% believer of Tyler. Not in that skepticism sense. Do we think Tyler is aware of the history? Obviously, he knows who Lil' Kim is. Mm-hmm. Do we think he's aware of the history before this reading?
I don't think so, because I feel like...
Let's get Faith Evans on the show and find out.
Well, Russell gave the invitation.
The Russell Ray _ in between. If you don't have Twitter, go ahead and get me on Instagram. Russell Ray Silva. Zoom in on this, producers, because I really wanted to hear this. Come at me. Faith, I need to know. Go ahead.
Well, because here's my thing. The reading felt so calm and sweet and even hallmarky for, A, talking about a shooting that was very... Mm-hmm. notorious, pun intended, but also B, I'm glad that you appreciated that, Mina. We've been making terrible jokes all night.
No one appreciates my pun.
I know, yeah. So thank you for standing in the gap for me. But no, but A, for talking about a shooting, it was very light and graceful of a reading. But B, this is some serious tea.
Yeah.
For the reading to be so airy-fairy romantic, I was like, this is
That's
a serious drama
knows.
Love triangle going on. So I believe Tyler may not have known what he stepped into.
Yeah, because he was real calm. And she was real calm, too. Like,
She didn't want to ruin her makeup, she said.
You know what? Lil' Kim was so composed to what the media has portrayed her so much over the years.
I love Lil'
she
Kim.
Was so laid back. Like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited to meet That's you, Tyler. Girl. And I was like, how nice. Like, I was expecting this whole different person. I'm expecting the stage persona of her.
This show brings out, I mean, do you remember Patty Stanger, the Million Dollar Matchmaker?
I love her.
It brought out a different love side her. Of her. Like, yeah. this yeah. show brings out the vulnerable side of people that has grief and pain and questions mm-hmm. and I loved this reading. I love seeing this side yeah. of her. So okay, so Biggie comes through. First of all, the word soulmate, like the drama from minute one.
No.
And then an apology.
Okay, yes.
It made for great TV. What are we thinking about this?
I first of all love Lil' Kim. So if you're watching this, I love you. But since, you know, Faith Evans is also watching, I love you too. So they
don't want to take sides.
Yeah, I don't want to take sides.
They're both good at what they do.
They're both amazing.
Excellent, yeah.
But I just felt like I am a really big Biggie fan as well. So I've, you know, watched a lot of documentaries about the whole situation. And I've watched Notorious, the movie, and mm-hmm. watched a lot of stuff about them. And I just feel like Lil' Kim was done so dirty back then.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and kind of was, like, made a public mockery. And so for him to come back and be like, I'm sorry, like, for not being loyal and for having these commitment issues and for doing you wrong, like, I think if I was her, that would be something I really would like to hear.
So everybody in this world deserves to have a full circle moment, right? Whether you've been done wrong. And, you know, now the good is coming. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and all that work that you put in and all that hard part in the middle that you put in has finally came back to pay you in the respects that you deserve. Or earned. I don't believe in deserving. Earned. But he did Lil' Kim so wrong. Like, wrong. He not only, he got with her, discovered her talent, was with her, messing around with her, then found Faith. By the way, I still love both of them. And Faith is just as talented in a vocal, she's a vocalist, you know, Lil' Kim's a rapper. Yeah. Just as talented, and then after he cheats on Faith, he begs for her to come back. He ain't begging for Lil' Kim, but Tyler's gonna come through and say that that's his soulmate. I don't know how I feel about that.
Okay,
this feels like Dr.
Love
Phil.
And
right? I need to talk to me.
Well, the original Love and Hip Hop.
Well, is it possible he made some unfortunate choices and got up in? Caught up in some self-created drama while he was here, but his soul, having moved on and been at his highest self, at least, I don't know, the soulmate thing pushes it just a little bit.
Hard.
But I think it's very believable that his highest self, in whatever realm, having connected back to love, is like, you know what, I really treated you badly, and you deserve an apology for that. I think that's very believable.
And friendly reminder that he was only, what, 24 years old 24. When he passed?
Yeah.
I don't know how many 24-year-old men y'all know.
And it's a real thing that sometimes together. People leave mm-hmm. somebody and then realize, I made a mistake. Especially later on in life with, like, an adult perspective, seeing how everything played out. And you know, this isn't even an adult perspective. This is like your highest self mm-hmm. in the next yeah. dimension perspective. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to put words to that.
Yeah.
But I thought it was good for her. I think it was healing for her, if nothing else.
Super healing.
Drama causing television, but maybe still healing.
I don't know how I feel about the word soulmate, but thinking about it, maybe it's more or less of like the way to say they were two peas in a pod. Like, I think my best friend is my soulmate, but we're not together relationship or romantically.
Were you ever?
You see what I'm saying? Huh?
Were you ever?
No.
That's very true.
I would never in a million years. The best person in my life.
Isn't necessarily a romantic thing. Soulmate is just kind of like a...
But when a heterosexual male says it to a female?
I don't know, because I have a guy best friend, and I would say, and I'm sure he would say also, that we are soulmates, but not in that
so
sense.
That's why I make the distinction between soul friend and soulmate. There is a difference.
I never use that word soul friend soul in my friend. Whole life.
Soul friend.
Soul swipe.
Is that a dating app for conscious people?
No, it's for Black people Tinder.
Is it really? Yes. I've never heard of
it. It's
this.
A real thing.
I've heard of it.
I've never heard of that.
I just found out about it, and it is hilarious.
Wow. Well, you learn new things every day. And yes.
Anyway.
The bottom line is, though, I think if he used the word soulmate, he is acknowledging I made a mistake in life. Mm-hmm. But that wouldn't, again, that doesn't surprise me because obviously this is a more dramatic reading. But the whole season, people come through and are like, I made a mistake. Why couldn't he make a mistake in romance and then come back and say, you know, oops. Sorry. Oops and sorry.
Well, I guess I can see where you're coming from because... like he did watch this whole lifespan of Lil' Kim and everyone else that he was involved with while he was here on Earth. He's been there through this whole entire process, so he's been obviously through the ups and the downs with them. And maybe he's seen all the hurt, you know, through the years that it affected her multiple years. Maybe it didn't affect Faith that hard, and she moved on real quick, and it was good, and she had her peace. And maybe Lil' Kim just suffered and cried and just really, really just made. Push people away or something, and that's why he, you know, he has that such regret and, you know, sorrow for her.
I do think he now sees where they're all at in this moment, so I don't know where Faith is at right now, but...
Oh, my phone just buzzed. Oh, it ain't Faith. I thought it was you, girl.
But it is clear that she still cares for him a lot.
Absolutely.
And so maybe, you know, can you imagine having this perspective outside of time where you can see the two people? And what if he's looking on and he's like, wait, this is the one that really misses me, or this is the one that really cared for me more? Yeah. We don't know. But she clearly still does care for him a lot.
Also, I don't know if anyone else caught this. She said that she has new music with him coming out.
And Faith just did music in July.
I thought that was a very intentional plug.
Yeah, but I'm here. But here's the thing. I'm here for it.
I'm all over
that. Right. No, I'm not mad about that plug. Well, I'll take that plug over Lisa Vanderpump's restaurant plug
any day.
And I love that place, but that was a little much.
You know what I thought was the sweetest thing about the Lil' Kim Biggie thing was... when at the very end, the very conclusion of that was how Tyler said that Biggie emphasized that he learned to love properly because of Lil' Kim. Oh,
I know that she taught him what love was.
That was Nicholas spot.
Yeah, it really was. Cute. It was so beautiful.
But let me just ask you guys, have you guys been in a relationship and look at
this? Oh, we're ending here.
No. Have you looked in your past and like, that person really did love me and I did mess up, but I'm okay in the relationship that I am now and I love this person that I'm with now?
No, but because I've had that.
What?
Just kidding.
I think it's...
I'm always perfect.
I think I've had two times a situation where I looked back and I realized... we did genuinely love each other, mm-hmm. and the timing was so wrong.
Yeah.
Or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. Or just, we're different people now, and thank God it's not that. But I think it's, you know, to look back and be like, that really was love there, and I really do honor that. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That was just full circle moment.
Yeah.
For her.
Full circle moment.
I love to watch people have full circle moments because it brings them closure, brings them peace, happiness, all the butterflies and everything that you could possibly get out of that. And
she was so genuinely surprised by it because she's like, I was way younger than Notorious, you know? It's so weird that you know, she taught him something when he was so much older, but I really don't think age has to do with it. It was probably maturity too at the time.
Also,
I agree.
I want, and I said this earlier, I want a Tyler, Lil' Kim-esque, like, not rom-com, but, like, best friend comedy film, like, based off of those two, because their dynamic was so...
I am here for that. Or a reality spinoff.
Oh, my... Yeah.
Can we get a spinoff where it's, like, their lives mixed with the readings? I would do that.
Yeah.
Ooh.
You know? Well, we gotta wrap, but it really has been...
Wait, literally rap? Like a rap song?
Oh, do you want to? I have some lyrics. Hold on, ready?
That was not intentional, but thank you for making yet another cheesy joke.
You just pick up on the spirit
of the cheese.
Wait. Oh, never mind. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. This is the moment.
This is your moment to shine.
I think you guys already touched on this, but I just thought it was really cute when, you know, Tyler said, loving you was my greatest accomplishment of my soul.
Aww.
And I think for anybody to say that.
For anybody to hear that.
Whew. I think that's what we all want to hear.
I want to hear who shot Biggie, is what I want
to hear. That's a good point. She knows who did it.
It was danced around. That was very intentional how that was handled.
Absolutely. Yes, all tea and all shade.
We may not have gotten the details, but she got her moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so many full circle moments all season long. Thank you for watching Hollywood Medium After Show all season with us. Tell the people where they can find you on social media as we say goodbye one more time.
Hey guys, in a couple of weeks, I'm getting my Instagram back and you will be able to follow me on Mina Makes Magic.
All right, guys, you can follow me on Instagram at Russell Ray Silva and on Twitter at TheRussellRay, underscores in between, two S's, two L's, the Italian Stallion, and here's my girl.
Snap. And you can follow me at OKDrewJ on Twitter and Instagram. Bye.
Do you guys have any other after shows that they can find you on right now?
The Voice.
Ooh. Russell's on The Voice.
Yes,
25th. Like she has one coming this fall.
One coming up, so we'll see.
Amazing.
We'll see.
And I'm Stefan Lovegrove. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Dr. Lovegrove. And I will be back at the AfterBuzz Studios tomorrow night for any of you who watch Boy Band. Season finale tomorrow night. We'll be here. And Monday is the Chesapeake Shores after show. So all the after shows, tune in. Tune in for The Voice. Tune in for hers. Surprise show coming this fall.
TVR report.
And... stay open. That's a good theme for after the season, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Stay open, you guys. We'll see you next season.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz, see you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.